John 15. John 15 this morning. We're going to look at John 15 verses 1 through 8. John 15 verses 1 through 8. And the scriptures on the back of your program, it's going to be on the wall here. And, you know, always the best place to follow along with us is your Bible. I encourage you to always bring your Bible on Sunday morning. You can read it. And if you're a visual person, kind of like me, you remember where it's on the page, and down the road, you know, you may be able to find it later on, remembering what side of the page it was on and how far down it was. I always encourage you to bring your Bible. We're going to read from the English Standard Version. I want to catch you up a little bit if you haven't been with us recently. John 15, we're 15 chapters into John. We're taking it chapter by chapter, and many times like small chunks of chapters by small chunks of chapters. So right now we're in a long conversation that's recorded between Jesus and his 11 disciples. And you say, well, I thought he had 12. He did. But minutes before the chapter we're reading today, Judas left to sell Jesus out, to turn him over to his enemies, and Jesus would be killed. So we're right after Judas left the room, and right, really, literally hours before he's going to be arrested, and the day before he's going to be killed. So we're listening in on a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. So John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Let me read. You follow along. If you're looking on your program and even on the wall, I've underlined some things we're going to circle back around and look at. John chapter 15. And everything we read here is going to be what Jesus says. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Abide. Did you hear that several times? Abide, abide. Seven times the words used in these eight verses. In fact, there's only one, if you look at this passage, there's only one command. There's only one time here that Jesus specifically tells his followers and tells us what to do. There's only one command in these eight verses. And it's the one that's in bold in your program. Verse 4, abide in me. That's the only direct instruction Jesus gives. He gives a lot of explanation about what that's going to look like, what's going to happen if you do. But there's one command, and it's abide. This passage is about abiding. Now, to abide, it's not a word we use a lot in English today. But what it means is to stay connected to. It means to remain. To remain close to stay connected. Now, the question that we may ask as we look at this passage, Jesus says, abide in me. He tells us to do that. And so we may say, and that's the first question there on your outline, how do we abide? Okay, Jesus, you tell us to do that. It seems pretty clear in these verses that that's very important. How do we do that? And what happens in what Jesus says here is he doesn't give us a checklist. He doesn't say, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you'll abide. He doesn't give us a task list. What he does instead in these verses is he gives us a picture. He gives us a visual illustration that helps us to know how to abide. And what we see is he presents this picture of a vine and a branch and a vine dresser or a farmer. So you've got the vine, you've got the branch, and the vine dresser. Now, it's a picture of a grapevine. I'm not an expert on grapevines, But on a grapevine, you have the vine. It's kind of the main stalk. If it was an apple tree, it'd be the trunk. It'd be the big branches. You have the vine. But the vine doesn't bear the fruit. What bears the fruit is the branches. And in this passage, it's those little vines, those little shoots off a grapevine. And they bear the fruit, but only if they're connected to the vine. See, what happens is that everything the branch needs, the little vine needs, it gets from the main vine. Everything the apple branch needs, it gets from the bigger apple branch. It gets from the trunk of the apple tree. The branch can't do anything. It can't bear fruit. It can't live unless it's attached to that vine, that trunk. It gets its strength from the trunk. It gets its support, even structurally, from that trunk. It gets its nutrition. It gets everything it needs. It gets from the bigger vine, the bigger branch. And that's a picture of abiding in Christ. That we stay connected to Him in a way that we get everything we need from Him. Strength, support, nutrition, so to speak, from Jesus. To live and to bear fruit. Now, the vine and the branch illustration helps us a little bit, but you know what? Here's the other thing. Even though abide is not a word we use a lot in our sentences today, every one of us instinctively knows what it means to abide. Because every one of us is doing it all the time. We're always abiding in something. We're always connected to something. See, we're always getting our strength and our wisdom and our ideas about what's right and wrong, about what we should do. We're always getting that from something. See, we always have a source. If you're breathing and you're walking and you're thinking, you have a source. You're getting your ideas, you're getting your strength, you're getting your help from somewhere. You're abiding in something. We know how to do that. But see, here's the thing. Sometimes we attach our needs and we attach our decision making to some other source, and or maybe it's, you know, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, for me, it's myself. My branch kind of curls around and attaches to self, and so I try to rely on my own strength, or I try to rely on my own wisdom, or what do I think I should do in this situation? Sometimes our source is ourself. Sometimes it's other people. We kind of attach ourselves and we make other people our source. You know, today we call that codependence many times. You know what the Bible calls it? Fear of man. Fear of man. That I am really, really concerned about what other people think of me. So if someone is upset with me or if someone is not happy with me, I'm devastated and I'm weak. But if everybody's happy with me and they think I'm doing well and I think that I'm making the right decisions, then I have strength. But I'm drawing my wisdom and basing my life and attaching my source onto what other people think and who is happy with me. And it's not just junior high and it's not just high school where we do that. It's our life where we do that many times. We abide in the fear of man. We abide in what other people think. It could be money. It could be stuff. It could be our careers. It could be our achievements. See, we're looking and we're staying connected to something as our source and our wisdom and our basis of making decisions. But Jesus says in verse 1 that He's the true vine. He's the true vine. And that we need to look to Him as our source of strength. To stay connected to Him, to lean on Him. And again, what's interesting in this passage is it's almost like we find ourselves thirsting for details. Jesus, what? How do I do this? How do I abide in You? How do I stay close to You? How do I stay connected to You? And we could list literally thousands of specific ways that we could do that. Things that we could practice that will help us stay close to Him. But what Jesus leaves us with is the picture of a branch staying connected to a vine. A branch staying connected to a vine. Not just like once, but like every day, like all the time, leaning on the vine. So we can't, in our Christian walk, just kind of think, well, I was connected to Him back then when I crossed that line of faith. I put my faith in Jesus. I trusted in Him for the forgiveness of my sin. The words here, abide, speak of a continual, day by day, moment by moment, leaning on Him. Consistent, chronic trust in Jesus. What this passage does give us, though, is a lot of ways for us to know whether we are abiding. So that's the second question. How do we know if we are abiding? How do I know if I'm staying close to Him? How do I know if I'm leaning on Him or if I'm pulling from other sources as my ultimate source? And you know, let me say this just as a quick aside. There's nothing wrong with stuff, nothing wrong with money, nothing wrong with other people being happy with us, nothing wrong with relationships, nothing wrong with even persevering. What's wrong is when we make all those things our ultimate source. How do we know if we're making Jesus our ultimate source? And Jesus gives us three things in this passage that will help us, give us clues whether we're really abiding in Him or something else. The first one is this. If we're abiding in Him, our lives are bearing fruit. If we're abiding in Him, our lives are bearing fruit. And in this picture of the vine and the branches and the vine dresser, there's a lot of talk in these eight verses about bearing fruit. You probably saw that as we read through this. Six times, this two-word phrase, bear fruit, bearing fruit. It's important, and this is the main way we can tell if we're abiding. Jesus says in verse 5, whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So if we're staying connected to Jesus, we're going to bear fruit. When a grape branch stays connected to a grape vine, it produces grapes. When an apple branch stays connected to an apple tree, it bears apple fruit. We picked blackberries recently. When a blackberry vine branch is connected to a blackberry vine, it bears blackberry fruit. It just happens when you're connected. When a follower of Jesus is connected to the Jesus vine, the branch bears Jesus fruit. It's just what happens. If you're connected to Jesus, Jesus fruit's going to come off your branch, out of your life. And that could look a lot of ways. See, the fruit in our life, the actions, the thoughts, the attitudes, the bent that we have is going to look more and more, not perfectly, but more and more like Jesus' life did. And that means when people that are hard to love come in our path, that Jesus will be helping us to love them, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus, when he was on the cross, in an extreme example, he looked down on the people who put the nails through his hand and he said, Father, forgive them. That's not my first thought, usually, when the things a lot less extreme than nails are going through my hands. But if we're connected to Jesus, we will find that growing in our life. We will find our instincts changing and morphing so that more our instinct will be to have Jesus fruit and love those who are hard to love in our life. Temptation. Jesus was tempted. He was tempted, and we read it in the Bible in some very specific ways. He's tempted to shift his trust and to shift his love from the Father to himself and to do what the enemy told him to do. But he said no. We're going to find in our life, if we're connected to Jesus consistently, we're going to find that we will find help to say no to temptation. We will find help to cling to the Father, to love Him and trust Him, and not go to other things to love them and trust them, which is really the heart of temptation. We will find ourselves being able to say no to temptation more and more. Again, not perfectly, but more and more if we're connected to Jesus. If we find that that's not happening and not growing, like for years, that's not happening, then it's a red flag that we may need to go back to, am I abiding? Because Jesus says if we are abiding, we will bear Jesus fruit. So if we're not bearing Jesus fruit, the question comes, am I abiding? If a branch is laying on the sidewalk and I wait for a week, And the grapevine is 12 feet away, and the branch is laying on the sidewalk, and I wait for a week, and I wait for a month, that there's no fruit off the branch. At some point, I've got to think, wow, you know what? Maybe the branch isn't connected to the grapevine. Maybe it's not abiding in the grapevine. Same thing is true of us. Now, what this passage says is that if we are abiding, in verse 2, if we are abiding, something's going to happen in our life. This may surprise us. If we are abiding, it says that the Father is going to prune us. Did you see that in verse 2? The Father is going to prune. My Father prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. Now, pruning for an expert farmer or vine dresser or apple orchard person is a skilled thing. They prune, they cut off parts of a branch so that the branch can grow and thrive even more. And they may cut off parts of a branch that are green. See, I prune when branches are dead at my yard. I prune when my bush grows out into my driveway and I can't see when I back up. It's in my way, so I prune it. But that's not what a skillful farmer does. It prunes even something that is green, even something that may be bearing fruit, but it cuts it off so that the branch can thrive the next season, so it can bear even more fruit. And what's interesting is you will never see a branch pruning itself. That sounds silly, but I want us to think about that. You never see a branch pruning itself. You see a branch dying and falling off and rotting, but you never see a branch saying, you know what, if I would just kind of strategically cut parts of myself off, then I would grow even bigger next year. You don't see that. You see the vine dresser doing it. Listen, pruning is something that happens in a Christian's life that is bearing fruit, but it's something we usually, almost never, will volunteer for. It's something we don't do to ourselves because we don't want the pain involved with pruning. We don't want the hardness of having parts of our life cut off. And we're not always talking about bad parts. Just as the farmer prunes sometimes green branches that are bearing fruit, sometimes God takes away things from our life that aren't evil. But maybe in his wisdom, he knows that if he'll take that part out, if he'll remove whatever that is, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's shifting jobs, maybe it's an income shift, but maybe it's a geographical shift and it hurts and it feels like we've lost something. The Father doesn't do it to hurt us. We need to know, even though it hurts, that's not his goal. See, the farmer, the vine dresser's goal is so that the branch would bear more fruit. Listen, bad things happen in our lives because we live in a sinful world. And sinful people do bad things. Sometimes it's us. A lot of times it's other people. Sometimes we just live in a broken world, and so bad things happen. And cancer comes, and sickness comes, and accidents happen. It's not always the Father, although everything falls through the filter of his sovereign hands. But sometimes the pain in our life and the loss is because God specifically reaches in and prunes something from our life. And it's not because we're not bearing fruit, but according to verse 2, it's because we are. It's because we are. Don't be discouraged when the Father prunes. He disciplines everyone he accepts as a son. He prunes every tree that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. If you're bearing fruit, know that you're abiding. And if you're bearing fruit, know that the Father will prune. If you're not bearing fruit, according to verse 2, it says that the Father will take away those branches. Look at verse 6. Some pretty vivid language here. That those branches that don't bear fruit, that aren't abiding, are taken away, they're thrown away, they wither, they're cast out and burned. Thrown into the fire and burned. Some pretty severe language. Fire in the Bible is never a good thing. It's a picture of judgment. Now we need to be clear here. When it says that those who are not abiding, those who are not bearing fruit, we're not talking about you've had a tough week. We're talking about weeks and months and years and decades of consistent fruitlessness. Somebody who may say or think even that they're a believer, but there is no Jesus fruit coming off their branches. No Jesus fruit this season, no Jesus fruit next season, no Jesus fruit consistently. Jesus says those branches are thrown into the fire. Pretty sober language there. Sober to the point where we may say, wow. Even this morning, right now, we may say, wow. I look at my life and I'm not sure I have seen fruit, like, ever. Or we may be concerned about others in our life, loved ones, family, coworkers, friends. And we may, there may be an urgency in our heart saying, man, I don't see fruit. I'm concerned for them. Our instinct is to then say to ourselves and say to others, wow, you need to bear fruit. You need to bear fruit, or judgment is coming. You need to bear fruit. We may say to our own hearts, you know what? You need to try harder. You need to do better. You need to get this thing down and do the right thing. But here's the question. Does this passage command us to bear fruit? Does Jesus, is that what he says? Does he say bear fruit, branches? No. He doesn't say that in these eight verses. What does he say? He says, abide in me and you will bear fruit. See, so many times we get this wrong. So many approaches to God get this wrong. And when we realize we fall short, we say, oh, I've got to bear fruit. I've got to get this right. I've got to figure out the six steps to fix my life. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, listen, that's like picking up a branch off your sidewalk that's disconnected and looking at the branch and saying, you better bear fruit. You better bear fruit or I'm going to throw you in the trash. It doesn't, that's pointless. What you have to do is get it connected to the tree again. Or maybe for the first time. So you cannot bear fruit. Look at these verses. You cannot bear fruit unless you're connected to Jesus. You can't. It doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. You cannot bear Jesus fruit, unless you're connected to the Jesus vine. And in verse 2, I think it's verse 3 actually. If you look at verse 3, there's something counterintuitive here. There's something it seems to not make sense when we first read it. Jesus says to these 11, he says, but you 11 guys are clean. You're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. In verse 2, he talked about pruning. He's talking about, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to prune you. You're going to be progressively changed. But then in verse 3, he reassures them. I want you to know, though, you're okay. You're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Again, Jesus doesn't say you're clean, you're okay with God because of the things you've done. You know what? I've vetted you out for 3 years and you've made the cut. Judas didn't, you did. So because of what you've done, you're clean. He doesn't say that. He says because of the words I've spoken to you, you are clean. How do words make us clean? How do words change my life? The words that we've heard Jesus over and over and over say in this passage is believe in me. Believe in me. Over and over, not in this passage, but in this book, in these 14 chapters going up to this. Believe in me. Whoever believes in me will not perish. Whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Whoever believes in me will be forgiven. Whoever believes in me will be cleaned. Not by what they do, but what I will do. Hours from when he said this, by going to the cross, not to die for his sin, but for our sin. Rising again, promising to come back for us and saying that he who thirsts, come and drink. He who's dirty, come and be washed by what Christ has done. Listen, if you have never been connected to Jesus, that will play out because you will not see consistent Jesus fruit in your life. And neither will other people. You know the tree by the fruit that comes off the tree. You know the tree is alive. If there's fruit coming off the tree, if there's no fruit, it's not alive. You may not be alive because you may have never been connected to Jesus, believing his words, that he is the only way and the only truth, the only way to the Father. There's no other way. There's no other vine. He's the true vine. How do we know if we're abiding? Our lives are bearing fruit. And number two, Now, number one was really the main thing. Jesus talks about that a lot. Now, there's two other smaller points that Jesus makes, although they're pretty big points. Number two, our prayers are being answered. If you're abiding, your prayers are being answered. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, and I abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If we're abiding in Jesus, our prayers will be answered. Actually, there's something even before that. If we're abiding in Jesus, we'll pray. If we're trusting in Jesus, we'll ask Him for things. You know what? You don't ask people to do things that you don't trust. You don't. You don't ask someone to help you if you don't trust or have some kind of hope that they will help you. Sometimes prayerlessness in our life can be traced back to a lack of trust in Him. If you're not abiding, you're not going to pray because you're not going to trust Him. So you're not going to talk to Him. But if you're trusting Him and abiding in Him, number one, you're going to pray. You're going to find yourself praying and talking to Him and asking Him for help and wisdom and direction. You're going to want His words to abide in you. You're going to want to hear what He says. You're going to want to remember what He says. When you make decisions, you're going to kind of think through how Jesus would think through that. And He gives us a lot of ammunition in that decision-making process here in the Bible. So if we're abiding in Him, we'll find ourselves, number one, praying, but we'll also find ourselves having more of our prayers answered. If you abide in Him, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. We have to be careful here because it does not say ask whatever. Yeah. If you abide in Him, you'll get anything. Abide in Him and get anything. See, it's not a magic formula. This is not kind of a mantra that we can say and kind of a lever we can pull. If I abide, wow, I can get anything. Let me give you an example. And kids, I want you to listen. Kids, teenagers, junior highers, especially, I want to let you in on a little secret that will help you. Okay, are you listening? If in your relationships with your parents, you are not yielded to them, and you are fighting them, and you are bucking them, you are not honoring them, not respecting them in the way you talk and in your interactions with them. That could be a bad day. It could be a bad week. It could just characterize your whole interactions with your parents. If you're not staying connected in a yielded and honoring way to your parents, you will find that you will get a lot more no's than if in your relationship with your parents you are yielded. And in your words and your actions, you seek to honor them and respect them. You will find that you will get more yeses. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. Now, why I'm telling you that, kids and teenagers, is not so you can kind of manipulate your parents and flatter them and kind of look like you're honoring them and, ooh, so I can get this, so I can get what I want here. You have an ulterior motive. I'm saying if you have a good relationship and you honor them and you yield to them, I understand your parents aren't perfect, but there's also a part on your end that you can address to help your relationship be more honoring and yielded to your parents. I'm not telling you that so you can manipulate your parents to get anything. And you know what? Jesus isn't either. Jesus is not giving us a formula for manipulating God to get whatever we want. If we just kind of outwardly or in some way with a double-minded motives try to manipulate God. It's not what He's saying. What God is saying is that when you're close to Him and when you're trusting in Him and His words are abiding in you and your relationship, you're staying connected and leaning and trusting in Him, what you will find is what you will find yourself wishing for. He says, ask whatever you wish. You will find that what you wish for is more and more in line with what God wants. And that's the way it works, kids, with parents too. When you have a good relationship with your parents, you will more and more kind of know how things work and know what they will say yes to. And you will actually want more of what they will want for you. not perfectly, but more and more. Same thing with God. See, the Old Testament says it like this. The Psalm says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's not a blank check. It's not a blank check. What it's saying is if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you abide in Him, what He will do is He will change you. Your mind will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If His word abides in you, you will find yourself asking more and more for what He wants. And the Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have it. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we're not asking according to His will. We're out in left field asking for things that aren't part of God's desire. And we wonder why He's not answering our prayers. Sometimes it's because we don't know what He wants. Sometimes it's because we're living in the soil of pride, and the Bible says that God resists the proud. It's like a parent that says no to the kid that is fighting with him or her. One way we can know if we're abiding in Him, if our prayers are being answered, because we're asking for more and more of what He wants and what His desires are. We're asking for His name to be honored. We're asking for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done. For our daily bread, we're asking for the stuff that are in line with His word, because His word's in us and we're abiding in Him. There's a third thing here. How can we know if we're abiding? Our lives are bringing attention to God. Look at verse 8. Our lives are bringing attention to God. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God gets glory when we bear fruit. What that means is God gets attention when we bear fruit. God looks better when we bear much fruit. God looks bigger to others when we bear much fruit. It's not that God gets better. God's not going to get any better. He's not going to get any bigger. But when we bear fruit, others see that. Attention to Him. We see that many times, and it draws our attention to Him, and it makes Him look bigger. It makes Him look better. He gets the attention. Just like we're always abiding, you know, our lives are always, if you think about this, our lives are always drawing attention to something. They are. They're always drawing attention to something. Could be drawing attention to what we own. It could be drawing attention primarily to what we've done and what we've achieved. It could be drawing attention, and you know, a lot of times, a lot of that, because of our bent towards sin and self, a lot of it is we're kind of like these glory vacuums that want to suck any attention towards ourselves. We want the glory. We don't use that word, right? But we want people to notice us. We want people to think well of us. We want to be satisfied. We want to have the attention. And when we think about the picture of the branch and the vine, again, this may sound silly, but you'll never see a grapevine eating a grape. You'll never see an apple tree eating an apple. It doesn't happen, because the fruit... See, the apple is not for the apple tree. That's not who the fruit is for. The grape is not for the grapevine. Who's it for? It's for the one that picks it. It's for the one who grows it. It's for the one who trims its branches. It's for the vine dresser. It's for the farmer. It's for the one who owns the tree. The fruit is for the owner. The fruit is for the one who tends the tree. Listen, we belong to God. And the fruit that comes out of our lives is not for us. It's not. You were not made to live for yourself. You were not made to produce fruit for yourself. According to this verse, you were made to produce fruit for your Maker. You are pruned so that you will bear much fruit for Him. And some nasty things happen in our lives when we live our lives to satisfy self. When we try to produce fruit that we can consume to make ourselves happy, full, significant, and to meet our needs. What happens is we end up consuming ourselves. And we see that in some extreme examples like drug addiction, alcoholism, sexual addiction, workaholism. See, we chase fruit that we say this will satisfy. And we consistently go after that, trying to bear fruit from our lives that will bring attention to us, that will satisfy us, and what we end up doing is killing ourselves. And now that's pretty extreme. You say, well, I'm not a drug addict, I'm not a workaholic, neglecting totally my family, leaving my family behind for my work. But listen, this can play out in some tons of smaller ways where we're trying in our own strength to produce fruit so that we can eat it. But the picture of the branch and the vine and the vine dresser, that's not the picture. And this is so counter self. This is so counterintuitive. This is so countercultural. See, here's the message of these eight verses. Here's the message of Jesus. Here's the message of the gospel. You have no strength in you. There is no hope that you will find by looking inside yourself. The only way you can be made right with God and live the life that you were made to live. See, you were not made to be your own source. You were made to be attached to the true vine, Jesus. To draw your strength, to draw your wisdom, to draw your dependence from Him. You will not find it in yourself. Look to Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. And it's to live not for self, but for Him. To produce fruit for Him. To live for Him. And we'll forward wind a little bit. I'll give you a little sneak peek to next week in verse 11. Jesus says in verse 11, it wasn't in our program, but He says, "These things I have told you so that you may have joy." We say, how do we get joy? By trusting in somebody else and living for somebody else. I mean, what's in it for me? And Jesus says, joy. You do not find joy from any other source like you will from Jesus. You would not find joy from inside. You do not find joy for living for self. You find joy in living for the One who made you. And for the One who came down to save you. Who walked to a cross, took your weakness, took your rebellion on the shoulders that never rebelled Himself. But He carried your rebellion and your weakness. Died for you. And then He says that when you trust and believe in Him, He will pick you up, that withered, dying, dead branch with no hope of bearing fruit, and He will pick you up and He will graft you in to the vine. He will connect you to the source. And as you're connected to the source and you find forgiveness and hope in Him, fruit, Jesus' fruit, will begin to more and more pop off your branch. And then He will prune you and it will hurt. But more fruit will be produced. He's the source. He's the goal. He's the shepherd. He's our hope. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for this picture. God, You're so... Jesus, You're just so good at helping us to see what this is supposed to be about. You have shown us already as we walk through John from so many different angles, using thirst, using hunger, using bread, using vines and branches, wanting us to understand, stopping short so many times of giving us a checklist, of giving us a rule book, and then saying, go do your best and I'll see you at the finish line. But that's not what You say. What You say is, you don't need a rule book. What You need is Me. What You need is Me to be your source. You don't need to run to the finish line to see if you've made it. You need to run with Me and lean on Me, the One who says, I will never leave you or forsake you, and I will help you run this race. I will help you produce fruit for Me. I will help you to do the things that I call you to do. And Lord, that starts at the cross. Jesus, we thank You so much for being our source, for being offering Yourself. Thank You so much for the fruit that pops out of our life. And God, we say right now, you know, if there's anything good that comes from our life, Lord, it's from You. If there's any Jesus fruit, it's not because we're trying hard, but it's because the vine keeps pumping nutrition and strength and wisdom and help so that the fruit comes off our tree. Lord, help us to stay close. Help us to stay close. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.